Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight, and I want to say to my listening audience around the world, happy, prosperous, healthy, and wonderful New Year to all of you all. I trust that your entire holiday season is going as planned and perhaps even better than what you had expected. So it is a brand new year. Bring the celebration that brings about a lot of good things. So we have a lot of reasons to be thankful for, and you can certainly discount those, the reasons why you want to give thanks. Sometimes we have situations that may transpire in our lives that seem to bring some unfortunate things to us. But you know what? We still have got to give thanks for every waking morning, every waking day that we're up. We need to give thanks. And every breath that we take, every step that we take is another reason to give thanks. Because it's not over until God says it's over. And he has given us so much out here. And many of us, particularly living in a certain place, we have lots of reasons to be grateful and thankful. So I just want you to keep that in mind, that we've got plenty of reasons to be thankful. We're going to bring a young lady on that has recently encountered some uncomfortable news, some sad news. She's going to come on and she's going to tell us a little bit about her story, and we're going to make an appeal and show you where you can, if it touches your heart as it has mine, we're going to ask that you listen closely and see what it is that you can do to bring some type of assistance to help someone who has received some devastating news. So you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. And just before we bring this young lady on, I'm going to go ahead and bring my co-host in, Miss Audrey Blake, from all the way in Atlanta or wherever it is in the world she is at this point. And we're going to bring her in. Miss Blake, thank you for joining us. Welcome. You're on the air live with us.
Hello, Dr. Walker. And we're looking forward to a wonderful show this evening.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And Miss Blake, at the top of the hour, there's a young lady right now. She's on. She's going to be coming in. I'm going to bring her in just a moment. Her name is Diana Booker, and she is in Davenport, Florida. Ms. Booker is a very near and dear friend of mine and a family friend of ours, and she just recently shared some news with me last week that I'm still shaken up about, and I'm going to bring her on and let her tell her story and see how many of us can make some type of contribution. So are you ready to meet Diana Booker?
Yes. Let's welcome her to the show.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Jesse, for having me on. And before I even go into my story, I just want to thank you so much and let your listeners and viewing audience know what you have done for me, you and your wife. There's so many times when you tell your plight to people, and my mind goes to the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, where the man laid by the side of the road and he was broken and bleeding, and everyone, two other people passed them by, but the Samaritan, he stopped and took care of his needs. And Jesse and his wife have been that Samaritan in my life, because when they heard my story, they didn't say, oh, we'll just pray for you, you know, be warm, be blessed. They actually dug in their pockets and gave me a very hefty donation of $300 towards my cause to help me with my breast cancer treatment. And so I just want to thank you again so much, you and your wife, for doing this and for sharing your airtime for my cause, too.
Okay, that is certainly not a problem, and we're not going to stop there. We're going to continue to monitor your progress and do whatever we can, even using this programming as a format. And, of course, as I said to you off the air, I'm going to say this on the air again, just before you go into your story, you can come on at the top of the hour on any one of my shows and even on the Friday night show and give, you know, your story and then an appeal. So if you want to, you can go ahead now and give some background information so that we can go ahead and proceed with tonight's broadcast.
Okay. Well, I came up with breast cancer in 1997, and I'm a believer in natural healing for the body. And so that's what I did. I went to a health sanitarium for 30 days and came back home and continued the program. A little bit of background, I've been a vegetarian at that time for 10 years in my life, very strict with my diet, but I had a very stressful lifestyle. I had a husband who was, you know, alcoholic and a serial adulterer, caused me a lot of stress in my heart. So that was one of the reasons I came up with the cancer, and not to mention that my family has a genetic predisposition for cancer as well. It has taken away all of my relatives, my mother, father, grandparents too. So that, coupled with the stress, brought mines on. I was in remission for 15 years, doing very well, and it came back again as of 2012. I've been doing the Gerson therapy, which is very demanding, 10 to 13 glasses of fresh squeezed carrot, apple juice, and green drink a day, and coffee, enemas, and lots of supplements. The program is also very costly, too, to keep up with. But just as of recently, 2 weeks ago, my doctor told me she wanted me to go to Mexico for intravenous therapy treatment. There's a therapy called dendritic cell therapy live, and she wants me to receive that, which is proven to cure cancer, all types of cancer. So the cost is kind of high. It's steep. And so I'm appealing to people to help me in my campaign to raise funds. I'm asking for $25,000 to help me with my budget to go there for the treatment and to sustain me while I'm there. I would be there for 21 days.
Okay. All right. And what is your target date of trying to get over there for this treatment? When is your target date?
I would like to get there by March 1st. I'm trying to sustain myself until that time.
Okay, so March 21st, and you're saying it's $21,000. I'm $25,000 that you're asking for. Is there a website that you have where people can fund you? I know that you told me off the air. So
yes, absolutely.
Where is that?
Thank
where can
you.
I go?
Yeah, they can go to www.gofundme.com, gofundme.com/helpDianaFightCancer, and that would take you directly to my website.
Okay, and if people want to contribute, let's say, without going to the fund, that site, because I know that they have certain sites that receive a percentage of that. Do you have an alternate site that they can go to where it goes directly to you or anything along those lines, or is there a number they can contact you on personally?
Yes, they can actually contact me at 863-236-0503, Diana Booker, and we can make other arrangements because, yes, they do take 7.9% of every donation that does come in.
Wow, 7.9%. That is kind of steep. So, and I would imagine that anyone who wants to make a contribution, they will more than likely want to it to go directly to you so it can support you. Ms. Blake, let me ask you, did you have any questions for Diana Booker?
No, the only thing is you talked about the website. Could you, when you say help Diana fight cancer, is there a spelling on your name? Because I just want people to get the website correctly.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Diana, D-I-A-N-A, Diana.
Okay.
Yeah, help Diana fight cancer.
All right.
Oh, okay. Well, again, I want you to know at the top of every hour, you can use this forum, and we'll carry you up until March 1st. And it is my faith and, you know, whatever we're going to be able to do to help you to get over there for the treatment that you need and then monitor it throughout. So we certainly have appeal to the listening audience around the world. You can go to www.gofundme.com. Is that right? GoFundMe.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
/helpdianafightcancer.com.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no,
well,
the dot com, the dot com comes after the name. GoFundMe.com.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
/helpdianafightcancer.
Right.
Okay. We
right.
got
Thank
it.
You so very much.
You're quite welcome, and you're always welcome to join us. All right. Thank you, and you have a great evening.
Thank you as well. And tell Gloria hello and thank you for me.
All right, will do. All right, Ms. Blake, we didn't, I just, you know, my heart goes out for this situation because she's a close friend of mine and I know her very well, and her family, her husband James, very good Christian people. And she's holding her faith in spite of the fact of what she's going through. And many of us who have never encountered such a thing, I don't think we can even begin to imagine, you know, the stress level that's on her and then having to be in need financially and not knowing where it's going to come from. But her faith is strong, and I am so grateful for that. And so we not only need the praying community out there, we need people actually going into their pockets and doing something about that. So we're going to continue to carry this up until as often as necessary, and we're hoping that she will reap the blessings. Those of you all that are just joining us, we had Diana Booker on at the top of the hour, and we're going to have her on every Tuesday if she deems necessary and as her energy level holds up to make a special appeal for her breast cancer that is like, I think is outside of remission now. So she's trying to get some funds, $25,000 she mentioned, to go for alternative treatment in Mexico. So we're going to continue to carry that and do whatever we can to help her with this process and her husband, James, as well. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to get into our broadcast and do the very best that we can under the circumstances of what we presented at the top of the hour. But I do want you to know that God has the final word. You know, that's what I believe. God has the final word on all of our lives. And all we can do is do the best that we can and leave everything else up to him. But I think that it behooves all of us to give it a fighting chance because it is our lives that we're talking about. All right,
yes.
Ms. Blake, are you ready for tonight? Yes,
I just wanted to insert that, you know, I've had several close friends that are breast cancer survivors, so I know very, very intimately, very close friends and who have had, you know, have come out of remission and yet they are still survivors. So there definitely is hope.
I thank you for that, and I'm sure she does as well. Let's get right into tonight's story. We're going to go right with them. I want to thank all of my listening audience tonight for their patience and indulgence with us. For the record, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you, we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. Now, of course, as always, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host or my co-host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed in tonight's programming or merely those of my own, and like those of my guests, co-hosts, or other participants, should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, Ms. Blake is a licensed coach. Licensed, what's that word goes before that?
A certified professional life coach.
Certified life coach, yes. And I'm a life coach also. Tonight's story is Ingrid and Jeff. Ingrid and Jeff have been dating since their freshman year in college and are now 1 year away from graduation. Their three-year relationship has, of course, had plenty of ups and downs, just like most relationships, if not all. One of the major problems they often encounter is Jeff makes the entire relationship about him, and Ingrid makes the ultimate sacrifices of depriving herself for what she often desires from the relationship simply to please him. She has expressed her concerns about this to her close girlfriend as well as select family members, but she is clueless as to what else she can say or do to let him know that it's not always about him. One example she's coping with is she wants to go to grad school for her master's degree in education, but he feels she should work for a couple of years, then they get married, in spite of the fact she has desired to get married for the past 2 years. Now he wants her to wait at least 2 more years after graduation from college. Additionally, she wants at least 2 children. And he has clearly expressed to her that he doesn't want any kids at all. Now, once again, she conforms to what he wants because she loves him so very much. With the new year coming in, she does not make New Year's resolutions because she knows she will not keep them. Questions are, and we'll start with the first question, what is Ingrid doing? Why is Ingrid doing this to herself, you know, and not even being married to this guy? Let me start with you, Ms. Blake. I mean, has she lost her mind? She's not even married to him, and, you know, he's taking her through this. What do you think?
Well, you know, that was the first thing that came to my mind when I was listening to this story. I was like, what? I was like, she's not married to him. How do you let somebody stop you from going to grad school when they're not even your husband? I don't get that.
Right.
So
I don't get that.
Yeah, there is something. This is something out of whack with that.
Well, even if he were, I mean, there all the warning signs are there, and we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment. But all the warning signs are clearly there. I mean, he doesn't want any kids. He's clearly stated that. And here it is, she wants at least 2. And she's, once again, conforming because she loves him so very much. I mean, is there that much love really in the world?
I mean, it won't go well. It really won't. And I would say to all our listeners out there, don't ever let anybody stop you from achieving your goals. That is, you know, anybody that's with you that's not going to help push you to take your game to the next level, they're not doing you any good.
I certainly agree with that. And this, of course, brings us to tonight's topic. Are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. Once again, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. Let me just ask this question. Diana, are you still with us?
Okay, yes, I am.
Okay. Diana, did you get a chance to hear tonight's broadcast, the story?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you think that Ingrid here is being true to herself?
No, not at all. She's selling herself short. And as you was telling me the story, I was thinking of a girlfriend I knew once who told me she didn't go on to nursing school because the guy she was dating at the time, who later became her husband, told her she went off to nursing school, he wasn't going to wait for her. So she didn't. She didn't go.
Wow.
She went on and married him. But I was just, reminiscing of how her role was in that relationship. And she was at the bottom of the totem pole. all the way through.
Oh, my goodness. Are they still married, to your knowledge?
Well, yes, they are, but she's had to be a doormat to stay in the marriage. That's my perspective.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
On the outside looking in, absolutely. Absolutely. She's
wow.
just a maid and a slave in that home. And everyone, the children, the boys, they all come before her.
Wow. Let me go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 954-226. Who do we have with us this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you. Rose, can you help us make some sense out of this? Do you think things will actually get worse before they get better for Ingrid?
I don't think they'll ever get better. And you asked the question, and you said it because she loved him, but sometimes the songs say, what does love has to do with it? In this case, I think he is selfish. I think he's very controlling. And I think if she ends up staying with him, she's going to regret that. Now, number one, he doesn't want her to better herself, you know, getting her master's. What is that going to do later on? He's going to resent her for that even later. You know, if they do get married, he'll resent her because maybe he is more educated than her eventually, and she is stuck without, you know, her graduate degree. She's going to even resent him. Later on. She wants kids and he doesn't. Come on now. What is she has to give everything up. What is he giving up? What is
mm-hmm.
he compromising? I think she needs to check herself, check the relationship, and move on. Clearly, she needs to get out of this because they're not married yet. It's only going to get worse. If he's so controlling now, I believe he'll be more controlling after the wedding.
Rose, help me to understand something. When you say he's going to resent her later, I can understand her resenting him later, but I'm sort of confused on why would he resent her later?
You know, it depends on his level of education. If he already has his master's, I'm not sure if I heard that he did, but if he does, and if he doesn't yet and he goes on to get his master's and she does not, you know, then he has acquaintances and business partners or whoever that, you know, are more educated than her. He is now around other females who are more educated than her. He might start resenting her for not being at the level that he is, although he's the one that stops her. You know, so I think she needs to be careful. That's what I think.
So let me ask you, Ms. Blake, do you think Rose is on course? I mean, here it is, this guy. I mean, I agree with her personally. I mean, I think that he's, you know, I hate to use the word idiot unless I'm driving and somebody cuts in front of me. I think that that is one of the most commonly used words when people cut in front of you. That's idiot or phrase that idiot. But in this case, is he really an idiot? I mean, you know, Rose, I think, was being very gentle and kind. But is he an idiot? Ms. Blake, take the gloves off and tell it like it is.
Well, I think not so much an idiot. He knows what he's doing. I think he's controlling and selfish.
Okay. Diana, let me go back to you if you're still with us. And, of course, at any point in time you need to go on, we certainly understand. I mean, Rose said that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Is her self-esteem that low that she would just allow somebody to control her like that, not even being married to him? Even if you were married to the person, and I mean, don't get me, take this wrong, but that's too much. That's a bit much.
I totally agree with you, and you hit the nail on the head when you said her self-esteem is low. That is the reason why that she would allow someone to do that to her. She values him more than herself, obviously. And so she's going to accept that. And, yes, I agree with Rose. He is very selfish and controlling, and that is only going to get worse. Monsters don't ever get better. They get worse.
Okay. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1765. We're going to go to the phone lines again momentarily to 786-985 momentarily. Just before we do, we encourage you to continue to send your comments in. If you want to send a comment in, you can certainly send that in to us, and we'll read your comment over the air. All right, let's go to the phone line, 786-985. Thank you for joining us. Who do we have with us?
Lion.
You say Lion?
Lion.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Can you help us make some sense out of this? Is Jeff being really selfish as it's been presented out here? Or is he really just manning up and he knows what he wants?
Well, this is kind of the concept that the slave masters had on their slaves. Mm-hmm. And the slave master had a certain instrument that he would use, which is psychological warfare, to keep the slaves submissive upon his unjust rule. Anytime someone tell you to be submissive, love oppression, love your enemies, let someone beat you down, it's tearing down your self-esteem to stand up for justice and righteousness. So once this woman come to the realization of the royalty of her heritage, of knowing the great contribution of women have played such instrumental roles in standing up and being firm women to demand for equal rights, the way it was not back in the 60s and days before, then women will have more respect because they demand for respect. But me myself, I am a revolutionist. I myself am not passive. I don't turn the other cheek, and I'm not going to let no one abuse me, hurt me, or take advantage of me because it will tear down my human rights, civil rights, constitutional rights, my moral rights, and my godly rights. So the sister has a low self-esteem of who she is, only forced to be a bed witch and someone just to make babies. And this is the mentality of the satanic slave master who would not acknowledge God as his redeemer. So my thing is, a lot of us have played a part in this role by ignorance. And ignorance is
okay,
no excuse.
Lion, excuse me a minute. Lion, I'm your co-host, Audrey B. Let's bring it back for a minute. So I hear you. I hear everything you're saying. Didn't mean to cut into you because you were on a roll. But so what are you telling us about Ingrid in this story? I just want to make it clear to our listeners.
I'm saying that a monkey can't ride you if your back is straight, only if it's bent over.
I like
and
that.
And therefore, since she's bent over, not mopping the floors with her hands, but allowing a monkey to ride her, not knowing that we have to know who we are. She don't know who she is. And you see, it's not so much as the chains that was tied to the elephant. It's the mental chains that once them physical chains were broke, it's the mental chains that still keep that elephant dancing, wobbling in front of that stump. And that's what's happening to the black and the black man and the black woman in America. I love all folk. I speak about five languages. I love all who love God. There's no prejudice in the kid. But I do dislike slavery. I know what we did for this country. We never got our 40 acres and a mule, as long as the interest that's supposed to be put upon it. So my thing is, you still got sisters today that are bed warmers and refuse to know their purpose, which is daughters of God, and stand up and don't let no man enslave them or no woman enslave them. But as long as they have the concept that it's godlike to be a slave and badgered and beat and spat on, then therefore she's going to submit to that. And by the time she wake up, oh, it's going to be too late. And that's what normally happens to people who are ignorant.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Lyon, let me, before you go, and we appreciate your comments and we respect those, of course, and thank you, Ms. Blake. I want to ask this question. You mentioned something about a person's self-esteem, and you mentioned you sounded like you were mentioning some misinterpretations from the Bible, and you mentioned love your enemies as one of those. Does it not say that in the Bible to love your enemies? Was that a misinterpretation?
No. Yes, I did say that. Let me tell you why I say that, because once Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, 18, he said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law, prophets, I come to fulfill the law." But in that same fifth chapter of Matthew, in the 38th to about the 40th verse, he said, "It has been said, and I have not to do, but now I say, if someone brush you in the face, turn the other cheek, and if they take your coat, give them your cloak, resist not evil, love those who enslave you and take advantage of you. And then a 48th verse says, be ye perfect even as your Father's in heaven. Now, I looked up this, me as an old schoolboy on myself that I am, I looked up what was making God perfect in heaven. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, and the 7th verse to the 13th verse, God said there was a war in heaven. Michael, the archangel, did not love the enemies of God there. God had Michael to fight against enemies, and the Bible said heaven suffered violence, and violence took it by force. Therefore, sometime we have to get the devil out of our lives. And by doing that, you can't love him. You can't allow him to kick you in the face. You can't allow him to take your kindness for weakness. You can't allow him to use and abuse you and keep you ignorant in the back of a shed somewhere just to have sex and preventing you from your high education of your independence, because if so, then therefore slavery have not ended. So my thing is, if I'm gonna be perfect, if I'm gonna be perfect, like my Father in heaven, like Jesus said, I'm gonna handle my business the way God handled his business in heaven. And the way God handled his business in heaven, go to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and the 7th to the 13th verse, to tell you, God did not love the devil.
All right, we're gonna ask you to stand by, Mr. Lyon. Just stand by for a second, for us, and let's kind of come back. Like Ms. Blake, thank you so very much for that. We're gonna come back now. Two components of the story. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight's topic, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. What does that, let me go to Rose for a second and ask her the question. Rose, when you're here, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. What do you take from that topic?
Well, you know, everyone has aspiration. You know what it is that you want to accomplish in your life. And sometimes at the beginning of the year, you make New Year's resolution, although you sometimes break them the very next week. But everyone knows what he or she would like to accomplish in life. So therefore, you have to stay true to yourself. It doesn't matter what someone else wants you to do. They might want you to do something else, but even if you succumb to that person, you'll find that later on you're going to, you know, regret. You're going to go back to thinking, you know, this is not what I really want. Somehow I think it's going to haunt you. And so therefore I think if you're going to be true to yourself, you have to do what it is that do what you are. I when I was doing my bachelor's, I remember I did a psychology class, and I had to read this book that's called Do What You Are. You know, and as I read that book, it made me realize that don't feel bad if my aspiration is not the other person's aspiration. If I like a certain thing and someone else don't, it's okay. So therefore, I think that just be true to you. Do it what it is that you would like to do. So in this story where the young man don't want her to do her master's, if that's her aspiration, she needs to go ahead and do it. And, you know, I said that he is selfish and he is controlling, but I also think he knows what he wants. It's just that he has to get with someone who also likes or wants the same things that he wants, and she needs to get with someone who wants the same things that she wants or, you know, close to it. So therefore, it seems like these two don't belong together, you know. So that's my take on it.
Thank you, Rose. I tend to agree with you. Just before we go to the phone lines, we're going to go to 305-733 momentarily. Let me go to my co-host. Ms. Blake, did you want to add to anything that has been presented? We'll get to Lyon shortly. But we're going to go to Diana next. But first, if you want to add anything before talking
about everything has been well put. The major thing I did like what I believe it was Rose said, that it's not, you know, he knows what he wants, and she needs to know what she wants. She needs to, you know, we cannot let other people define our destiny. So we have to have the backbone to know when a relationship even is working for us or it's not.
Okay, I think that is excellent information that both you and Rose have presented. And also, Ms. Audrey Blake is the author of Falling in Love with Me, and she's also brand new author or an additional author, how do you put it, of
my
Dying
new release.
To Wake Up?
Yes, my newly released book, Dying to Wake Up, is an e-book. And Dr. Walker, just a quick thing, I've been getting some rave reviews about it. People are saying they can't put it down. And so I encourage people to go on Amazon.com or smashwords.com and get it. It's written under the pen name of Marcy, and it's only $2.99 for 244 pages, and that's not going to last at that price very long. So thanks for bringing that up.
Okay, no problem. Let me go to Diana. Diana, you know, when you hear that tonight's topic, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. What comes to mind, especially thinking about Ingrid in this situation? That question was for Diana, if she's still with us. But if not, let's go to Mr. Lyon here. Mr. Lyon, when you hear tonight's topic, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. How would you relate that to Ingrid? Briefly, please.
Again, being true to yourself is first have to know what you consist of. You know, first of all, our sisters, our queens are called Mother Nature. That means she produced life. We're supposed to be consist of Father Time. So when you put them both together, you have creation, whether it's biological creation or educating some children in a school to be reproductive according to the Creator's will, because everything surrounds by Him. So my thing is, we first have to be educated, because I think you're a teacher. We got to be educated of who we are. And when you enter education, you enter studying. When you enter studying, then you will know by creation, the new year haven't started. 1776 was the Declaration of Independence that the 66 billionaires got their independence from Britain. That was the Civil War, July the 4th. There was a celebration of their independence, not the slaves. It's in the history
okay.
book. Now, the beginning year, I'm going to make it short. The beginning year of creation starts in the month of April, which is on the Jewish calendar called a month of Abib, which is spring, which new beginning starts over with creation. So technically, scientifically, biologically, creativitively,
okay.
Life hasn't started over yet. So when we know not only God's order of the calendar, when we know ourselves as being structures of God, we would demand for respect. And if anybody try to hinder you, you move that person and move towards what God wants us to be, which is prosperous, independent, and be self-reliant.
Okay.
And you can't do that by allowing someone to muffle you.
All right, I agree with you. What we're going to do is now we're going to go ahead and jump into another phone call. We're going to go to 863-412. Once again, we're going to go to 863-412. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Hey, this is Freddy.
Oh, Freddie, thank you for joining us, Freddie. Freddie, can you help us make some sense out of this conversation tonight?
Sure. And it's Smitty, not Freddie. Anyway.
I'm sorry, it's Smitty,
right.
Okay, Smitty.
I was married for a number of years, and I felt as if, you know, I was I want to say like a self-made man, and, you know, I made my own decisions, and I did things that I thought were, you know, good for the family. And years had passed, and in my married life, I was looking, as I look back at some things, as I've been looking back this year, I've been co-host, directed, smothered, and things that I thought I was making decisions on, I really wasn't, because being married, you know, you talk with the wife, and so in talking with her, the decisions that she made, say behind my back, under the covers, to guide me it guided me away from a lot of the things that I wanted to do or the businesses that I wanted to go into because that's not what she wanted. She worked a job, a 9-to-5, and she couldn't see me doing a business that wasn't a 9-to-5. And so that was the path. Now, in 2014, I'm moving forward and doing going to do my own business.
Smith, we're going to ask you, that is so good for you. We are so happy that you've decided to move on. Are you, just quickly, briefly, because we got a number of comments that are coming in, and we have about 18 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Let me just ask you, are you and your wife still together as a result of her not, you know, giving you that support that you needed?
Well, when I confronted her about it, she packed herself up and left.
She packed herself up and left. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. We're going to ask you all to stand by just for a second. We're going to go to you're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to, we got to take some of these comments, but first we're going to go to the phone line, 305-733. You're on the air live, and we're talking about tonight's topic. Are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. Who do we have with us, and thank you?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Stephanie. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Stephanie. Thank you for joining us, Stephanie. Stephanie, the question tonight's topic is not necessarily directed at you, but the topic is, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year.
Well, it's a very interesting topic because it's one that I kind of hold dear to me since I just discovered about 3 years ago that I was not being true to myself. I was basically doing things to please others, and I was doing things to make all those around me, whether it be family and friends, happy. But I can say today, within the last couple of years, yes, I've been true to myself. And I think it's the best way to go, because when you're not true to yourself, you're basically just true to others and what they want in your life and not what you want. So,
okay. Can you give us, without maybe exposing so much, could you give us an example for my listening audience? Because sometimes people need specifics to really get the point.
You're going to get rich and you're going to smile in your face.
Well, I think basically I'll use an example of maybe siblings. You know, even with siblings, you try to with siblings and not just them, but their kids, and you want to be this awesome, you know, family member for them because you want to help out, you know, all of them. And don't get me wrong, I did it. I love it. I love what I did, and I look at myself as a very good aunt. It's just that, you know, I also realized that I hope I was doing it all for the right reasons, which I do believe I was. It's just that I was doing so much. And I kind of neglected a lot of my own responsibilities and my family and my household responsibility because, you know, I was always trying to be that person that was, you know, always doing things for others and not just my family, my siblings, the church and, you know, different friends. But, you know, I've definitely grown a whole lot and now I think twice before I even yes to anything, whether it be an invitation to a party or whether it be an invite somewhere. I would, you know, kind of talk about it over with my husband and, you know, say things like, you know, I don't know if I should go. I really just don't feel like it. Or if I just decide I don't want to do it, I just say no, okay, even if it's a nephew's birthday. Normally I'll send the money, you know. Now I don't go out my way. I just don't. I put myself first, and I try to do that with everything now.
You know, I'm so proud of you, Stephanie, and I know there are so many people out there that are listening to your honesty, and they can appreciate you, too, because, you know, I think many of us, I mean, I can even relate to your stories. It got to a point of learning to say no, say no, and that's when you begin to start being true to yourself, and it becomes so important because you can lose yourself. Ms. Blake, we're going to bring you in.
Yeah,
learning
I was just about to
say no. Is that a bad thing?
It's not. And I actually was just going to comment on the caller. It's called setting boundaries. And for a lot of people, that becomes difficult. So kudos to you. I congratulate you about taking that step to really be true to yourself and making those decisions to set some real boundaries in your life.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take some of the comments, and we're going to ask selective individuals if they would speak to it. Let me go ahead. The producers are letting us know that we've got several comments that have come in over the air, if we can get to them at this point. Let me start by this male. He writes in, are you being true to yourself? After all, it's your life and a brand new year. He says, for years, I have not been true to myself, thinking that I needed a companion to always be by my side and getting things done. I was quite influenced by women in my life, which I later realized were really my downfall. I now realize I can do it by myself. Let me ask you, let me go to you, Stephanie, first, and ask the question. He said that there were the women in his life, they were actually causing the downfall, and now he realized he can do it. He doesn't have to have the companion, I guess, that he needs. It sounds like a codependency thing.
And I truly agree with him. I applaud him also at the same time. I mean, sometimes you just have to realize you have to. It's your life. You have to do it for yourself, and you can't just think that others are going to come into your life and do it for you. So you know, that's a good thing. I'm glad he realized that. You know, unfortunately, he may be without a companion, but you know what? At least he's doing some things that he wanted to do for himself, and he see that he didn't need anybody to help him do it.
All right, we're going to go to no, go ahead, Ms. Smith.
Especially if they were causing him to, you know, be setbacks more so than help me.
Okay, all right, that is an awesome thought. All right, we're going to go to Mr. Lyons. Just give us in 10 seconds or less, Mr. Lyons, if you would. He says you don't necessarily have to have a companion by your side. You can do it by yourself. That's what he come to conclude. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, me as a Bible person that you know that I am, I think that God have created the queens to be our helpmate, that it's not good that a man should be alone. And I'm definitely not going to go against God doing that. Sometimes it's wrong, something to be wrong with the way he's thinking. Being a helpmate and for her to totally run the show is a totally different issue. Maybe he was looking for someone to run the whole show and didn't want to blame someone for his mishaps, and that is the problem. But I have no problem with a queen assisting me as I would assist her. It's called harmonizing. It's calling one accord, one mind wave. And God never intended for the man to be alone. Never did he intend for the woman to be alone. So it don't have to be a reproduction so much as children, but it could be in harmonizing to move forward in a business. Any structure is going to be productive to help many. That brother or that person, whoever he is, have to reevaluate what role does he want a lady to play in his life, and don't blame her. Sometimes the problem is him. And sometimes, you know, it might take time for that, but I think God, one of his greatest creation is a woman. I don't really know much other tree, but that's one of the greatest things is a woman, and you should know you're married. So,
yes,
sir. The brother got to probably read.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Mr. Lyons, just momentarily. We're going to go ahead and take another comment, and we're going to give this one to Dennis. This female writes in. She says, I have a friend who has not been true to herself for years in her marriage. She put her life on hold while her husband finished college and discovered later that he was having an affair and left her after he graduated. She is now so depressed until it's really hard to get her back, to actually get her life back on course. Let me go to Dennis, and then I'm going to go to Stephanie and see what she thinks about that. I mean, here it is, the guy, Dennis, I mean, you know, he seems like he was controlling and then having an affair while he finished college and then left her. What are your thoughts on that? Briefly, please.
Wow. I don't know. I just think that was, first of all, that was very unfair of him. And were they married?
Dr. Walker? Yes, they were married. Yes, they were married.
I really think that was very unfair to her. And then, of course, the violation in the marriage that he ends up having an affair after she puts her life on hold for him while he does what he needs to. You know, I just, and now he wants her back. Is that what I heard?
Well, she's just having a problem getting, she's so depressed, she's having a problem getting, no, he doesn't want her back. She's having a problem getting her life back on track.
Oh, wow. All I can do is say.
Yeah, she's depressed.
Right. If I had the opportunity to speak to her, I would say, you know what, let this be a lesson learned to you. Definitely don't go down that road again unless you take care of the things that you need to take care of. And I understand the Bible. When you marry, you're supposed to be your helpmate to your husband, and he's supposed to be the head of the household. But then when things like this happen, all you can do is continue to trust in God and hope that you can get yourself together without destroying yourself in the process. Because
I would say amen to that.
Yeah.
I would say amen to that, Stephanie. We're going to pause for a second. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to go to 917-399, all the way in New York. If you've got a comment, please, welcome to the show. And who are we speaking with this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. You're speaking to Angela Dupre.
Okay, Ms. Angela Dupre, thank you for joining us. The topic tonight, are you true to yourself? Are you really being true to yourself? You know, I mean, it's sometimes conflicting because you love somebody so much, just as our story tonight with Ingrid and Jeff. And, you know, it's almost like she's given up all of herself to be loved by him. And there's a book out by that name, by the way. What do you think about that? Brief, please.
Well, I've been married for 20 years. My husband and I have been together for 23 years. And I think you should stay true to yourself, but I think you also should have that conversation with your husband. Like, I kind of feel like I put my life on hold for him to blossom in his career, and now he's done the same for me. And he always said, whenever you're ready to do what you want to do, I'm here for you. But I just think that they need to be having conversations about that. Now, as far as religion, I mean, I do believe in God, so does my husband, but I just think a lot of conversations have to happen with the husband and wife about where we're going in life. But sometimes I find myself stuck, like now that I'm getting up in age, I feel like there's some things that I didn't do because I put on hold my life so that he can blossom with his life and his career. And so, you know, it's challenging for me at some point. You know, I just feel like sometimes I put him ahead of me as far as his career.
Okay.
But he's always been in my corner, and it's I need to get back to me now without losing him.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. We're going to ask you to stand by. Diana, what do you think of this? Do you have a comment that you want to bring in with us this evening?
Well, it's just that a lot of times when women are wronged in a relationship, I find that they allow that wrong to bury them. It's like they're being a double victim because the situation is horrible, what happened to them. But then they victimize themselves by not rising above it. And the best revenge you can get is to do well, you know, to take and sit up underneath your feet and step on top of it and rise and keep going. Don't sink. Don't allow those situations to tear you down and to sink you.
Okay, awesome. That is some awesome advice. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard from Diana Booker. She came on at the top of the hour, and I'm going to encourage all of you all that are listening, please go back and listen to at least the first 15 minutes of this broadcast. It airs 15 minutes after the show concludes tonight. I'm going to ask each one of you all that's listening around the world to listen to the opening, the first 15 to 20 minutes. Diana Booker came on, and she gave a very compelling testimony. She's fighting breast cancer, and she's making a humble and respectful appeal. So I'm going to ask all of you all to go back and listen to this broadcast 15 minutes after the show concludes tonight, and see how you can make your contributions as well. And she's going to, right now, Diana, if you would be so kind, give the website again where they go to.
Sure. Thank you, Jesse. It's www.gofundme.com and then /help Diana, D-I-A-N-A, fight cancer. So it's www.gofundme.com/helpDianafightcancer. Thank you.
And she's trying to raise about $25,000 so that she can go to Mexico for alternative treatment. And I know Diana personally. I know her husband, James. And this is fully legit. Diana's a Christian woman, and she's not out to do anything. And this is not something that you make a joke about. Thank you, Diana, for that. Let me go back now to some of the comments that have come in, some more of the comments. We've got another one here, and it says, from this male, he writes in, when it comes to relationships, I don't think most people are true to themselves because they try so hard to please their significant others. Miss Blake, and we've got about 4 minutes to close the show. What do you think about that comment? Most people aren't true to themselves because they try so hard to please their significant other. Do you think there's any validity to that comment?
Mm-mm. Well, I think it is important that you try to please your significant other, particularly in a long-term relationship or marriage. But at the same time, you do need to be true to yourself. So I think there are people who get lost in their relationships.
Okay. All right. I think that's an interesting point. We're going to go to Dennis for the next one. Dennis, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Dennis, this female writes in. She said, and we've only got 3 minutes. That's why we're kind of expediting things quickly here. She says, I don't know if I agree that people are not true to themselves. I think I am true to myself by not allowing other people to run over me. I think being true to yourself means standing up for yourself. Well, you know, Mr. Lyons came on and he talked about that. If somebody can't ride your back, is what Dr. Martin Luther King said. You know, if your bike is your back is straight, then they can only ride you if you're bent over. What are your thoughts on that? Quickly, Dennis. Don't let people run over you.
Yeah, she is one of the few people who don't. There are people who will speak up for themselves, but in a relationship, people have a tendency to give more of themselves, and people have a tendency to run over them. And it's important that you do stand up, that you do see things, you know, talk about it. You know, just like the comment earlier, about the woman who husband went to school, she supported through school, then he left her. These things, like I think Diana was talking, that they need to be talked about all along the way. And the lady from New York talked about it. It can't be, I'm just supporting him, whatever he wants to do. No, it has to be a give and take. You got to understand where this whole thing is going.
All right, Dennis, we're going to have to cut you off there. We've got a few seconds left, and we've got at least 3 more comments. Let me go to Ms. Blake quickly, Ms. Blake. Someone has sent in a comment. How do you do both? How do you please your significant other and yourself and by being true to yourself? How do you do both?
Well, and I think that our previous caller just touched on that. That, you know, there's a dialogue, there's a conversation, and also you've got to know what it is that you want as well.
Okay, all right. Then this last comment here, this female writes in, I think a lot of women clearly get it wrong when it comes to being true to themselves because they think that means acting like the man in the relationship. It is clear in my mind that women should not even think of acting like a man because the straight men are clearly looking for ladies. Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts on that.
I just have to laugh. That's another show, Dr. Walker.
You know, I was holding back my laughter, but when you laugh, I had to laugh. That is another show. And we will bring
great,
that to
great comment. Great comment. We'll have to expand on that in another show.
Let me just go with 10 seconds or less. Let me go to New York out here, 917-333-99, Angie Dupree. Let me just ask you, should women act like men? I mean, we want to do a show on that one completely, but should they act like the man?
It's funny that you said that because sometimes I feel like I'm playing that role where I'm acting like the man of the house, but my husband reminds me that he's the man and I'm the woman. But, I mean, we both have to, you know, share everything that happens in the household. It's just a matter of communicating with him. And that's where I think I got lost a little bit because I'm so used to doing everything when it comes to participating in the schools and doing things with the kids. I'm playing wife and mom. that his long hours at work sometimes subject me to have to be the man in the house and make decisions that I don't want to make. But now that he cut his hours back, he's here. And I find that it's kind of hard to fall back a little bit because I've been used to that role where I'm
okay.
the one making all these decisions.
Right. We're
so,
we're
yeah,
completely out of time, Ms. Lepree. I'm sorry to cut you off. My co-host, we're going to give her the last word. Ms. Blake, give them once again website to get your new book.
Just go to fosteringleaders.org or amazon.com and look for Dying to Wake Up.
On that note, we are out of time. I want to thank all of you all for tuning in tonight. Special thanks once again to Diane Booker. And I'm going to encourage each and every one of you all to go back and listen to, in about 15 minutes, go back and listen to the first 15 to 20 minutes of the broadcast where you can find out where to get, make your contribution to support Diana as she fights this this battle with cancer. And we praise God that she'll get the victory for that. We're out of time. Happy New Year to all my listeners around the world. I want to also say we're going to bring you broadcasting this Friday night from 7 to 7:30 p.m. And if you choose the bypass this Friday, join us again next Tuesday live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until then, everybody, Happy New Year. God bless. Good night. And thank you, God.
Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now.